Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله all unqualified praise due to Allah and after that all unqualified praise due to Allah الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم praise be to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent form وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين and commissioned from among them messengers and bringing the good news and his warnings وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله I bear witness and testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. له الملك, His is the kingdom. وله الحمد, to Him is due all unqualified praise. بيده الخير, in His hand is all good. وهو على كل شيء قدير, and He has power over all things. ونشهد أن we bear witness and testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. Wa ashhadu anna sayyidina Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad. Wa send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our Nabi Muhammad wa ala alihi and upon his family wa sahbihi and upon his companions, ajma'in, all of them. قل يعمل على شاكلة فربكم أعلم بما هو أهل السبيل صدق الله العظيم that everyone acts according to the way that they've been socialized. But your Lord knows best who is best guided on the way. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that every child is born on fitr. Every child is born according to the true original nature. But it is their parents, and we're saying their socialization, that convert them to Judaism or Christianity or Meganism, as an animal is delivered perfect, as a baby, do you find any mutilation on it? And of course, the answer is no. Alhamdulillah, we'll continue on the topic of families, our future, and it has several layers. And we are inside the child, I don't want to say rearing, the parenting side of it, the role that the parents have to play for the offspring in order for them to arrive at the stage that they must arrive at so that they can carry out their responsibility and live their life out as human beings in accordance with that nature and in accordance with the plan of Allah, in accordance with the model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all those is something we wouldn't understand. And we're using as a foundation for our conversation the Athar of Ali along with the Quran hadith that I just read. So we're already inside of what I'm about to explain to you now. The Athar of Ali, when he said, Da'ibuhum li sab'in, wa'adibuhum li sab'in, wa'khalijuhum li sab'in, and then let loose the rain. He said, play with them for seven, teach them their dad for seven, be their friend for seven, then let loose the rain. But also showing the parallel between what science has shown in terms of human development, that there are three phases that match up with what Ali, who is said to be the first intellectual about Islam, what he has discerned and what's been preserved of his insights for us in his saying, play with them, teach them their dad, be their friend, then let loose the reins. The social science puts it in the categories imprinting, modeling, and socializing. The imprinting phase is from 0 to 7. The modeling phase is from 8 to 14. The socializing phase is from 15 to 21. And we are inside of the modeling phase, and inshallah, we're transitioning from the modeling to the socialization phase, which has to do with the different needs at the different ages and different times. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala identifies himself as Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the systems of knowledge. But Rabb, or rather along with that, Rabb inside of that means the one who gives everything what it needs, when it's needed, in the manner that it's needed in order for it to move from simple to complex. Gives everything. Allah says in the Quran, تَبْحِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَالَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَقَدَّرَ فَحَادَى. So this Rabb, those four categories are identified in the first three verses of Surah Al-A'la 87, that speaks about the fact that he is the one that has given everything a form, a nature, a place within the system, a potential for growing from simple to complex, and a role in the guidance of God. Okay. So when we talk about Allah as Rabb, then we talk about education and we talk about parenting, education means drawing out what's already in there. It means to draw out. And Allah said he created us growing like a plant, 71:17. That is to say that there's a plan inside of all of us and everything, and God's impact or the environment that he's put in there. Actually, Allah put his will in the environment, and then when we come into the environment, the environment acts on us, and we interact with the environment such that it brings out of us what was already in us. Parenting is the mediator between Allah's will, the human being that they're responsible for, children, and the arrival and the achievement of Allah's aim for that life. He created the environment, created the situation, created the nature, created the sperm, created the egg, brought us together, birthed the baby. All these are natural processes. Now, child's been turned over to the parents. What begins there? Tarbiyah. Tarbiyah, to keep the connection between Rabbil Alameen. Allah says, I have a plan to move this life from simple to complex. Now it's your turn, mother, father. It's your turn to take on your role to keep them moving along that path, all right? And so the advice has been given to us from Ali, play with them for 7 years, teach them their dad for 7 years, be their friend for 7 years, then let loose the reins. So imprinting, modeling, socialize. Imprinting is where the we as new beings, we get our first base level of life. This is the socialization process. And it starts when we are very unconscious. I'm not trying to go over the whole thing, but I know I have to bring some of you up to where we are. That in terms of from 0 to 5, 0 to 5, 0 to 6, we're in what's called a hypnagogic state. What is the hypnagogic state? It's a state where we look like that human being at 5 years old. We look like we're very conscious. We talk like we're very conscious. We act like we're very conscious. But we're very unconscious. We are literally in what's called a hypnagogic state. Why? Because there's so much to be absorbed. There's so much to be taken in. There's so much to be learned in your new space and environment. It's not something that you can learn consciously, you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set the human being up such that it is their environment. This is why the Prophet said, you're born on fitra, but then now we can also say the environment changes them to something other than what that nature calls for. But it's the responsibility of the parent to keep the child on track, to keep them moving. They've been moving naturally. You have to keep them moving. One of the key things to do is create an environment that respects that nature. Create an environment that can reinforce the pattern that's in that nature. So you can already see children raised up in environments that are totally un-Islamic. I'm talking about the sounds. Talking about the sounds, the smells, the spirit, the attitude, the atmosphere of the environment. Do you understand that child is taking that in and taking it all in unconsciously? And that's laying the foundation for their quote-unquote predisposition, things that they will be inclined to. So this is why it's important for us as parents to make sure that the new life that's been our responsibility, that we create an environment, you know, that respects the destiny of the child. Okay, so that's 0 to 5. 7, at 7, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, teach them to pray when they're 7, and punish them if they don't pray when they're 10, and separate them if they're at that time. So now, when we get past 7, we're in the modeling phase. And inside the modeling phase, there's a new set of expectations. The best way to do what I just talked about is the core of our interaction with our children between 0 and 7 is have fun with them. Have fun. And use that fun as an opportunity to teach them those things that are going to be critical for them going forward. All those little simple lessons, I mean, whatever. It could be any aspect of reading, writing, and arithmetic. But the point is, you know what the destiny is. You know what their nature is. And you take advantage of their appetite and their nature to put on top of it what you know they're going to need in order to advance. For now, I can remember in nursery school when they wanted to give us our vitamins, right? They give us a slice of orange and then they put an eye drop of whatever the vitamin was. I hope it was good. MashaAllah, whatever. It didn't kill me yet, so it must have been all right. So we get that vitamin on the orange, right? So teach them the lesson inside the play from 0 to 7, right? But now when that consciousness goes up and gets to the 8 years old, right, then the issue of the modeling comes in, then that nature is not calling for play as much as it is calling for, well, what's the order of things? What's correct? What's proper? What are the rules for this? What can I do? What can I do? Literally, that's what the child at that age is thinking to learn. All right, so what has the Prophet told us to do? If we're parenting, if we're educating, and we are working with God to see that this human being that is now in our responsibility as a parent, to see that this human being makes it to the next station, okay? And in order for them to make it to the next station, I need to know where they're going, and I need to know where they're at, right? So what we have to do is take that identification, and now the Prophet tells us what to do. Okay, next thing. At 7, teach them to pray, right? And if you do that for 3 years, and then they won't do it at 10, then punish them. Right? But now I'm leaving out a whole lot in terms of what our responsibility is. So you can't teach me to pray if you ain't praying. Hello? You know, so make sure you have already set up an atmosphere where there's respect for prayer in their environment. If they already have that, they feel themselves moving along and becoming grown Because, yeah, now I can do with mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whatever. I can do what they, so that's evolution. That's evolving in the best way, right? So in context of the individual who has gotten to that space, which is called the modeling phase, then what they need is the adab. Teach them the adab. Right? So all the categories, and that happens, this happens naturally. We take it as etiquette. That's what we learn. But we would, as a general rule, nobody tells us this. That in terms as parents, the way that we are raised up, you know, let me teach you some etiquette. I'm sure some grandma, grandmother, you need better etiquette. That's good. But as an ethos, as a general rule, we're not really conscious. This is the phase where etiquette is to be taught. To translate the Arabic terminology is adab. Right? So teach them the idea. So the etiquette. So then that's also a part of the environment. I just gotta tell you, I'm always trying to bracket this subject up. Hey, too shorten that a little bit, make that but if you leave out a lot. Let me say this. In terms of education, there are three levels of being educated. We're talking about raising the child up to the next station, right? But we have to be consciously parenting at each station so that I know what they need at this time, I know what the nature is at this time, I know what the foundation is, and so I know anything that I do has to respect this because they're 10 years old, okay? When I understand that as an example, so when I understand that, it's fine. So in terms of their learning the adab, learning the etiquette, do you understand that most of what we have learned about the nature of society that we're in, we have learned it unconsciously. We have learned it informally. We haven't been consciously taught because most of our parents, most of our society itself is unconscious, right? And it's called the cultural consensus track, meaning that there are certain things that we don't have to be taught at large because we've inherited from the culture that we're in. You go into a bank, there's a behavior that's expected. You go into a business office, there's a behavior that's expected. You go into a library, there's a behavior that's expected, right? You go to somebody else's home, there's a behavior that's expected. Because there's a decorum, there's an etiquette that we have. We've absorbed that on the public transportation. On public transportation, it used to be that, and maybe it is not. I don't have to ask you to see if that, if you've ever seen that going on. But on that public transportation, if a woman comes on, she got bag, you sitting down, man, get your behind up, man. Let that woman sit down. I ain't been on the public lately. Maybe this was it. No, it sounds like a personal problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope not, but I'm not there. But you get what I'm saying. We have learned it. Grocery store, you're in the grocery store. You're going down the aisle with your basket. And somebody else is looking and trying to decide what kind of ice cream they want to get or whatever. And the basket is blocking the aisle. What do you do? Right? It's like you think of several times before you even touch that person's basket. Now, that's the same basket that was out there, which anybody in the world could have grabbed and walked into the store with. But now that they have grabbed it and brought it in, it's personal. This is my personal space. What? My shopping cart. If you want me to move it, ask me to move. Some people are like that. Others conscious of the whole environment. Oh, excuse me. Pardon me. You know, I've seen that happen a number of times. So I got happy about the state of the society because people being very courteous, right? But if you just walk up, just move somebody's basket, that might be a fight. Because everybody knows you don't touch my basket. So was there a seminar somewhere that, okay, this is going to be the lesson on how to behave in the shopping mall? No. It's informal. We learned it informally. The child has to learn, the child will learn the informal because they absorb it, right? But now, you as an adult, you have to take the responsibility in that situation as a teachable moment to tell the child, okay, when you're in this kind of space, you do this and you don't do that, etc. So that's teaching. That's formal. Understand this. Formal is teaching by correction. Formal is teaching by correction. Alright, now I know you all can think of something that your mom and your daddy told you, grandma, grandpa told you how to act at the dinner table. Rarely do we find ourselves, unfortunately, at the dinner table together nowadays, but some of us came up at a time where families actually had dinners together. I don't even have to go all the way back to the Say the Grace speech. I don't even go back to the, let's just go to, we're eating, right? You can't be sitting at the table, talking with your mouth full, elbows on the table, whatever. It's like, there's a whole list of rules. But how do we learn this? By getting corrected. You go to somebody's house and your child want to run across their couch? Oh, sit down. And if y'all can't seem to check them, that's probably your last invitation. It's just like, don't come over here with that boy. Or that girl. That girl. Do what they do too. But moving on. So, and that's informal. Learning by correction, right? That's what we also have to do as tarbiyah, as parents. We have to work to ensure that what is to be known and what is to be done and not done, we learn that from al-Islam. And there's so much. So when you look at the prophet, then you begin to get a book on adab al-Islam. You get that. Learn that. Study that. Adab al-Islam for parents. Adab al-Islam for children. Get that. And get it in your head. And in your heart, inshallah, and do it. Seek to execute that because that's building the cultural environment that we need to have so that informally and formally, those in our environment can come up right, inshallah, with that. And it's important for us to understand it's not one family trying to do it all by itself. It doesn't work. It's like all we got to do is ask ourselves, how's that working for us? No, we need a total community effort with a consciousness of what I'm talking about and interacting with each other individually and collectively in the interest of that destiny according to Allah. That is building ummah. Until we do that, we're not building ummah. No matter how well we may be doing individually, what's required of us is that we do it collectively. Okay, so moving, important last thing of those three ways of learning, that is technical. Technical, which is what I'm doing right now. I'm speaking to you technically, right? If a child has to learn something technically, then you just have to teach them directly. If a child is learning something informally, you teach them by correcting them. The child is always learning informally, as are we. We are learning, most of what we learn it informally. It doesn't stop at 0 to 5, but it's just unobstructed at 0 to 5. It goes straight into the consciousness. And becomes a part of that child's makeup. As they grow up, they carry it with them. That's why it's just critical to get that straight from the environment at the very beginning of the child's life, because 60% of the personality is formed by the time they're 6 or 7, and 90% is formed by the time they're 10 years old. It's critical. And they say, we don't start paying attention until they reach puberty. Too late. To be impactful. It's purely the grace of Allah. If anything good comes, Allah has protected them, and inshallah, Allah gives us an opportunity to do better. Okay, so teach them the adab. That's what's going on at that time. We talked about separating them in their beds at that time, 10 years old, and we've spent a lot of time in terms of sexuality. We're going to move on to the phasing of that. This is us. We're complicated people. I feel a little guilty sometimes about, man, you gonna put that on top of that, you gonna put that on top of that. We're not simple creatures. And doing what we need to do, we need a blueprint. So I thank you for your patience, but I need to go ahead with it. And that's this. So separate them in their beds at 10 years old, what we're being told is watch out for their sexuality. That's what the prophet is telling us. We're separate. Why? Why? You're supposed to understand. It's because of sexuality. It's at the pre-adolescent stage. That the sexuality is coming in a little bit. And so you need to get ahead of it so that you don't have the problems and the complications that are going to come when that nature comes on indiscriminately. When that part of the nature, which is fitr, when it comes, it doesn't discriminate. Whatever can stimulate, That's what the nature is going to call for. So if it's my little brother to his little brother, my sister to her brother, my sister to her sister, at that stage, which we have explained is the autoerotic stage, therefore, when we explain at that stage, then all it's looking for is stimulation. Where can I find it? I don't have to go to it. Y'all grown, we're grown, you've been through it. It didn't stop when we got through it. Inshallah, if we are through it. I couldn't do it yet. Inshallah, we are through it. But the point is, there's now, inside of this, separate them in their beds at 10 years old. So just drop down from separate them in their beds at 10 years old. Now there are four steps. 1, 2, 3, 4. Autoerotic, heterosexual, commitment, parenting. That's all in extension of why that 10 years old is important. The 10 years old is important is for us to begin the sexual education of our new life. It's that time, okay? And what do? Recognize the phases that they will have to go through. When you understand what's happening in an autoerotic phase, there's certain things that you'll see happening in their lives is not going to appall you, it's not going to aghast you, it's not going to blow your mind. It's like, hey, autoerotic stage. You have to get on your job and let them know, okay, look, I see it's working. Now you need to move to the next phase, right? And the next phase is heterosexuality. So the sexual identity has to be established. And that's where the world is trying to rob. I'm not trying, because the world is robbing whoever's not paying attention, whoever's not doing what they should do. In some cases, you know, you can't overcome those influences. But the point is now only to speak of our conscious parenting obligation is that, okay, I know which road they're supposed to go. I know they're supposed to go from the autoerotic to the heterosexual to the commitment to the parent. I know I'm a conscious Muslim parent. I have to do what I have to do in order to do that. We have to do what we have to do in order to facilitate our mutual support in the face of the opposition of the environment that's against what we stand for. The social media platforms are against what I'm talking about. The music is against what I'm talking about. The TV commercials are against what I'm talking about. The television series are against what I'm talking about. And we're all plugged into them. And our children are plugged into them. They're in their beds at midnight with their iPhones, iPads, tablets. You and I are asleep. We have no idea who they're talking to. All right? So it's a collective responsibility in that respect. All right, so this is all happening between the 8 to 14 and 10 years old, drop it down, the autoerotic, heterosexual, commitment, parenting. Now, inside of this 8 to 14, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only did he say, separate them in their beds at 10 years old, then he said, when they reach puberty, which will happen in this modeling phase, if the people that are peddling puberty blockers don't have their way, without parental consent in the school system, a child can be allowed to take puberty blockers so that they can decide which gender they want to be. That's the world, that's California, and other places too. At the very time in this modeling phase, when the phase is identified as identity or identity versus role confusion. That's the phase they're in. Then this system says, come over here. You don't have to decide right now. You were assigned feminine when you were born, but you don't have to stay there. You were assigned masculine, but you don't have to stay there. So what we're going to do, we're going to block puberty. So, you know, so your breasts won't develop and your gonads won't drop right now. Wow, you decide. Now, that ain't the devil. Who are you looking for? Who's the devil? If that's not the devil, I'd like to know who you're looking for as the devil. I got to take a breath. So, Al-Islam has perfected its deen or system. It has the perfect instruction for us, and the prophet gives it to us. Separate them in their bed, they're 10 years old, and when they reach puberty, they should marry. This is a religion. This is deen or fit. Understand this. Fit is another term for libido. Fit is another term for libido. So yes, libido comes on with a sexually pronounced presence when it first comes on, but that's not the destiny of it. That's fit starting at the autoerotic phase in order for it to come to its maturity and deliver its intent according to Allah, but it has to start at the autoerotic phase. Then it has to be graduated to the heterosexual phase, and then it has to be disciplined to the point where a choice is made by that girl, by that boy, I'm going to marry this one. No, you can't say, I love all women. I love all men. No, choose. Choose. Make a commitment. Because until you're capable of, until you do make that choice, you still have to realize that your destiny as intended for your fitness, your libido, your nature. So let's again, we have the point where we've got to pass that. And of course, inside of all this, brothers and sisters, when Allah says, well, tekum minkum umma, let there arise out of you an umma, then when I make a statement like I have made, which is just reporting and repeating what the prophet said, when they reach puberty, they should marry, then you have to imagine an animation of someone sitting in the chair, sitting here in the juma, and say, oh, man. So you don't see that. You don't see that outward action. But you've seen enough animations to say it's like this happens outside of the body spinning like this. But the psychic body is saying, oh, man, what? If you don't catch it, you'll have to admit that I really don't believe in the whole of Islam. I like the prayer part. I even like the zakat part. But when you start talking about children, puberty, getting married, that's a problem. Let me go ahead and put another scoop on top of that single. Another scoop on top of that is first cousins can be married. I'm not going to go all the way into the wisdom of it. Not that I could, but I do know at least in one degree. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was he not married to one of his first cousins? And then the Quran gives all the delineations of who can marry who can't marry who can't be, who can't be. The Quran has said it. So y'all have to figure it out. Look, I'm God. Allah. I'm God. This is what she can marry him, he can marry her. Can't marry him, she can't marry him. So check the verse book. Locked in. Everything outside of that is good. All right? Prophet Muhammad married first cousin. Why is that also a critical thing? One dimension of it is they know each other. They grew up with each other. They're bonded in a special way. And especially if they come up in the same type of environment, the same type of ethos, and they got the same kind of socialization, et cetera, and then they come up in an environment that is consistent with that invitation from the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's just a matter of, is there a community that wants to live that out? You know, so I won't spend much more, any more time in that respect. So the point is that 8 to 14, the modeling phase includes the developing sexuality, even coming to the point where puberty arrives. And so now it's time, because of the presence of that puberty and because of those needs, and in order to stay on track and according to the will of Allah, next step, marriage. Marriage. Are we encouraging our teenagers and our pre-adolescents? Are we impressing upon them the significance of marriage? And are we creating situations that accommodate the kind of relationship development, because that's what's at the next station. The next station is socialization. All right? And so are we cultivating in them what would keep them online with what we're talking about? So 8 to 14, marriage, then of course parenting.
given that the commitment happens and the parenting happens, now it's their turn. They now are parents at whichever age. My mother, mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, she had her first child when she was 15. My sister was born 49. My mother was born 34, Rahim al-Alameen. So what are we talking about? That's 15. So she's pregnant at 14. And then she had he said, look, whenever you tell that story, make sure you tell everybody that I wasn't ever on welfare and I finished all my education. All right, don't get it twisted. You know what I'm saying? So, now I'm going to reward. And she didn't do bad, alhamdulillah. I say that to you, obviously, in just in love. So the point is that teen pregnancy, you know, teen pregnancy is not wrong. What you mean? It's not wrong because if God didn't mean for it to happen, he would have made it impossible at that stage. So when everything is working, that's God's intent. He created males and females and a woman as he pleases. It's us that's not lining up with Allah's design in creation by denying that structure. If we have no structure in the society that we belong to that facilitates the fitrah, that facilitates the nature, then we are obstructing the movement of that human nature to the destiny that Allah intended. We are obstructing it. But nature said, look, I ain't waiting for y'all. Y'all got to get together. You know, nature said, this boy, this girl is going to be born this day, this time, because Allah has his own plan. We have our plan. Allah has his own plan. Any child that's on earth right now is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for them to be on earth right now. And let me go ahead and clear that up. I can't clear up everything. I'll say what I'm going to say, inshallah. I hope it's clear. Do you know the term for nikah? The Arabic term, Quranic term for nikah. It means marriage, but also means intercourse. Let's see what that is for a minute. Because whoever you have intercourse with, you actually married them. Whether you honor the marriage or not, or whether it's halal or not, that's a whole other question. But uqd nikah is the marriage contract. See, you got married without a contract. Whoever it was, whoever it is, I gotta get away from that one. All right, moving right along. You know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll go ahead and conclude this with me right here. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "In my line, DNA, there was no fornication or adultery." Fornication or adultery, thinking like, that's rare. Hell no, that's not rare. You know, it ain't rare. Unfortunately, it's not. But the sanctity of that connection is what Al-Islam calls for. That's why it is so important. Marriage is so, it's a part of the schema of Allah. It's Allah's plan. It's Allah's plan. And when you're a servant of Allah and you're past puberty, part of your service, how many things has Allah asked us to do? I'm just trying to be particular here. How many things have Allah asked us to do? Sometimes you say, man, I really don't feel like that. If you're honest with yourself, you say, man, hey, look, it's just like Asa, Pacha, or any other cracker. You busy doing something. Oh, my Lord. What was that? It's like, what I'm doing is this important. Oh, God, God has asked me to be pulled away from this thing. This is important. But you have to be willing to say, look, mashallah, Allah is bigger, greater, more important. Whatever this is,
It's going to be there when I get back. May, and if it's not, mashallah, I'm done. I'm going to do what God told me to do. And it's the same with every other thing that Allah has ordered for us. And we're really not fully aware of how much has been ordered for us. Allah has ordered us a whole life. And we need to look at the list and see how many of those boxes have we checked. And have they been checked in the way that Allah has ordered them? If we are servants of Allah.
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب آمين.
الله أكبر. بسم الله. Let's make one transition to get all the way over into the socialization side.
Okay, so we are at the point of parenting. So everything I've been saying about parenting, whenever those young people who are now adults with children, then now it's their turn to go through the cycle with their children that I just talked to talk about us. So, okay, silo that off. Now, 15 to 21, socialization. I said, be their friend. That's what Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, and we now have the responsibility to advance that child's life with respect for their need for socialization. Let's just start with something concrete. How many opportunities is the Muslim community creating for our young people, 15 to 21, to just socialize with each other? Or are we leaving it all to other institutions to provide the socialization for them? Right? And so if they provide the socialization, no disrespect to anybody. It's not, I'm just being real about this. Listen, you go to your non-Muslim cousin, your favorite cousin, from your favorite auntie, and they're not Muslim. But you go to this major social event for them, and they're providing all the food. You gonna tell me you gonna eat everything that's there? You just go, well, yeah, give me some of that, give me some of that. You ever have any consciousness about what's on the plate? I hope you understand. It's no disrespect. You love them, but you can't trust them to provide you the kind of religious protection that you expect from what you eat. That's not their job. They're trying to have the party that they have based on what their heart and conscience is, and that's what you're going to get. You come to this party. Now, you want to have a party, ain't none of this, ain't none of that, ain't none of this, ain't none of that. But you need to have your own party. And that's literally what I'm saying.
Don't run away. I'm about to mention you a little bit, but don't run away. Practically otherwise. But I see twenty plus year old in the audience that's out front. I can't see that far back. I know it looks like I can see that far back. Maybe it might be a young girl that's that age. That's it too. It's like, let me just put it like this. What's up? Not for them, for us.
What are we providing for them as an opportunity, you know, for socialization? What if they're shy? What if they're self-effacing? What if they're not that kind of guy? Whatever.
They're you, but I know I was. That was just, Yolanda didn't want to have nothing to do with me. When she first saw me, she wanted nothing to do with me. Because, you know, I was running the gambling train in the back of the bus, doing the smoking, doing the cussing, you know, all the way for the whole bus ride. Yeah, okay. But she straightened me out, mashallah. It's a, we got together. The point is,
They're not like that.
They're not able, really, Muslim, and in a Muslim environment. So that predisposition for being, a crowd pleaser, being recognized, hey, here I am. No, they're not that. But they need to be married just like everybody else. Same way with our girls. You know, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said the girls have the same passionate appetite as men, as the males. But Allah has given them 10 times more shyness. They got the same. But they got 10 times more shyness by nature. But you know, they just stripped off that in too many. They ain't shy about nothing. Those are some of the females that our boys and flippant girls have to go out there and face. And so those are the only choices that we leave for them. And then when they bring them home, when did you bring them home? Hey, it was a party. It's the only party I know. You get what I'm saying? We need to create socialization situations, and they don't always have to be here. I'm just being concrete. They don't have to be here. Airbnb is all over the world. We can provide the proper chaperoning, proper guidelines. Look, I used to go to pool hall, and pool hall said no curses, no gambling, even though we know it happens in this place. The point is that the rules are posted. We have a social event. We're working on tarbiyah. Why are you having a social tarbiyah? Okay? But there's standards by which we say, no, this can't happen, that can't happen, don't bring this, don't bring that. But this, but we do it in a tasteful way, especially if they come from an environment that they respect, and they say, I'm good, and that's good for me, I'm glad. Ain't none of that going to be happening, because I don't want to be around that anyway. Talking about our children, right? And they are children of a similar disposition, non-Muslim. Something at the socialization phase, there's another womb that we're supposed to be constructing. God says he created you in the belly of your mother, which is talking about society, through three veils of darkness. Imprinting, one veil of darkness. Modeling, another veil of darkness. Socialization, another veil of darkness. Then let loose the reins. Then the birth is going to take place. It's a community responsibility. So you're looking around and go, well, who's going to do it? It's all of our responsibility. Don't wait for the masjid, got to start this, masjid got to start that, it's got to be based in the masjid. Take advantage of this. I thank you. Imam Al-Amin, Imam Abu Qadir Al-Amin, I noted this morning, mashallah, I didn't get a flyer, but I have to be on Instagram. It's Imam Al-Amin and Sister Alice Muhammad. They are being recognized in Lighthouse. I think it's about 6 o'clock tomorrow night. It's they're recipients of some honor. It's an honor. That's all I need to know. They're being honored for what they've done. And I think about Alison, of course, Imam Muhammad is functioning as Resident Imam, doing what he has been doing, and other things. But the point is that when you do your work, you know, and that work gets recognized and acknowledged, alhamdulillah, Sister Alice is very, very clearly distinct with regard to food service and, you know, providing food for the homeless and poor and different things like that. It's acknowledged. There's another sister up in Sacramento. My sister, her husband and Wali, as she mentioned, I don't know her. Thank you, She-Rock, is that. Believe me, no. What's the name one more time? Gloria. Yeah, forgive me, Gloria. I mean, it's like, yeah, that's she's rock solid. What is this? These are individual, personally initiated projects that are designed to serve humanity. Right? It's not a mass-generated thing, et cetera. It's something generated by someone who feels that they want to serve humanity in this way. So I'm saying it's a mistake to wait for Matthew Worthy is announcing its first socialization for our young people. That's going to be the first thing to make them not want to come. Not another Matthew thing. But if you use their network and let those who know that network communicate through that network, y'all stand back. Stand back. And you can find responsible individuals who are not so old to be disregarded, but who are not so young to be, you know, adolescent in their own mind. Let them do what they do. Oh, but if you let them do that, they're going to say, hey, stop. They're going to do that anyway. All right? Certain aspects of it, you just cut it out. It's like, you know, control burn, whatever. I think I said enough. So in this socialization phase, it's critical. And this will be the start point, inshallah, for the next ending segment of this. It says, be their friend. Now, imagine a parenting situation where you haven't played with them, you haven't taught them the etiquette, now you're trying to be their friend. You missed all the windows. Now, you can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can correct everything. Allah can correct everything. You follow the istikhara, you follow making the hajj prayer, you're making that prayer, you want to mend the relationship that you don't think should be or is not what it should be, and you recognize the role that you played in it not being as firm or as well as it should be, turn to your Lord in the final third of the night, tahajjud, sincerely, do whatever you have to do, ask Allah to help you, show you a way to do it. If you really want that to happen, Allah can fix anything, okay? But that's what we have to do in order to continue along that path. And so we'll speak more to the issue of friendship in the family. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلم تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد والحمد لله رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة.
Make our road straight, need to leave no space. Leave no space, plenty of shade time, divide us, my loves, and straight hearts, one of you.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة
on the floor. A couple of announcements.
Preparations being made for tomorrow, for tomorrow's backyard barbecue.
And that's going to be happening on this Labor Day weekend. And half barbecue chicken, $20. Barbecue beef brisket. Y'all know that comes around like Haley's comment. Y'all know what's up. That barbecue brisket, also $20 and a combo plate. $25 and it got all the fixings on that. So that's tomorrow, serving at 12 noon until it's gone. It's gone, it's gone. All right. Also, there'll be a support table from the women of Essendon Team. Stop by the root beer float table, $3 each. And we'll also have a variety of beautiful cards for sale for yourself or as a gift for someone else. I mean, and the monthly yard sale is also happening. So it's really going to be positive. Tomorrow, right here, 1747 Nostalgia. Also, Nusha had a cake session. We shifted the date to starting October the 2nd, 2022. They're going to be Zoom. They won't be on site. They're going to be Zoom. We'll have graduation, inshallah, on site. Zoom classes. There's about 13 to 15 weeks total for this semester, October 2nd. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back. It's for those, if you have been a Muslim less than 2 years, if you became Muslim before the pandemic, it's not for you. This is for, and we have other ones, Sheikh has classes and the like, but this is for new and non-Muslims, right? And so you can sign up with the on the sign-up sheet. Please print very clearly, especially when it comes to the email list. And that's all we're asking for is name and the email for your contact in that respect. All right, yeah, and there's a new publication coming, the Ramadan Sessions, Volume 1, which includes 83, 92, 93, 95, and 99. Those are just two problems. Those of you who went through them all with the dark session, you know what you have to look forward to on that. Also, we want to keep in our prayers, little Jilani, the grandson of Rashad and Amina, and the baby of Ispan and Tanya, inshallah, may Allah grant them peace, that Allah is best to heal, inshallah. Also, from the health and wellness perspective, there's the person sent me this email, and health and wellness is taking us the interest in whatever you can provide as assistance. They wrote me this. It says, "It's not that I'm afraid that you're well, ma'am. I'm reaching out because my dad is recently fully blind, and he's looking for a Muslim person who provides in-home supportive services. My parents live in Berkeley. Any need or assistance with finding information would be appreciated, inshallah." And it is from Habiba Johnson Hafiz. So you can contact Zainab Nasir if you want to help and assist in that. Okay? Thanks so much. Why, Mr.